This is Podtacular, episode 125, Habanero Halo, for the week of August 13th, 2007.
All right, gentlemen, let's get freaky!
Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
And I'm Dude I Rock.
Woo. Welcome, man. Long time coming.
Rock.
I know, right?
Damn, man.
I've been out of the podcasting game, but I'm back. I'm back with a vengeance with you guys.
How long has it been since you guys stopped podcasting altogether?
It's been a little bit over three, almost 4 months, actually. It's been a while.
Wow.
Dang, man.
Yeah, I used to listen to you guys.
Yeah, you know, it gets rough. It's hard to run a website with two guys doing a podcast who don't want to do anything but talk, you know.
I hear that, man. You guys did a great job on that, though, definitely. And dude, I was checking out your site recently, and your site looks really great. It looks like it's gone through a series of improvements over there. And man, you guys do a great job on that.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, we took some time. You know, the site has been up for almost 2 years now, and we decided, you know, it was time to give it the facelift we all think it deserved. So we spent about 3 or 4 months going through, adding some features and stuff, and redesigning the entire interface, and it's looking pretty nice, and I'm actually pretty happy with it, yeah.
Nice, nice. Who's pretty much in charge of the whole redesigning of the website? Was it you, or was it a bunch?
It's actually me. I do, before I started Tool to Play, I actually used to work in a design firm, designing sites, interfaces, and stuff like that, and kind of branched out on my own. And, you know, I've always been into gaming, so I kind of just started Tool to Play as a little side project, so.
Nice.
Yeah, I handled most of the redesign with a couple of other friends, and a lot of the programming with D-Smooth, the other guy, helped me out with the programming, and about a little bit of outside programming as well, to help finish stuff off, you know.
Awesome.
Can you just tell us a little bit about what Tool to Play is, for those of us that don't know?
Yeah, Tool to Play is, I guess from how it sounds, is a site for older gamers. We pretty much accept anyone over the age of 25. The reason really being the 25 we came to was when I built the site, I was 25. So I really couldn't go any lower than the age of 25, or else it wouldn't make any sense. So yeah, we figure that 25 years of age or older, you're pretty much either have some kids, you're probably out of college, or if not, you have a job. So everyone kind of has a platform that they all know about, understand, and can relate to. So the site's kind of built off of that basis, that everyone kind of has a similar interests with gaming and in their lives and stuff like that. So that's kind of why we built the site.
Cool. Nice, nice. Well, that pretty much answered the question I was asking.
So double answer there.
Yeah, double answer. I like, nice. You know, I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone.
Bonus points, man.
No.
Well, cool. So, yes. So you have this comprehensive site that gets people together in different games. You know, you used to do a podcast with that as well. You have all kinds of different tournaments and stuff too, right? You guys got a lot of stuff going on with that.
Yeah, we try to basically create an insular group so you don't have to ever play with what we call Timmies anymore. And a Timmy is essentially just any young kid that likes to scream into the mic, you know, swear as much as they possibly can, you know, use racism as much as they can, whatever they possibly can to annoy you, especially the singing. The singing, personally, for me, is just the worst.
Yeah, absolutely. So
we try to create a community that is, you know, a one-stop shop. So tournaments, like you said, podcasts, we have blogs now. We're currently beta testing clan pages, clan home pages. So now clans within Tool to Play will be able to have their own clan page, have their own news of their own, you know, their own scheduling, their own calendars of events and stuff like that. So really try to create a place where you can get away with or get away from, like, the teenage and younger crowd, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
You know, and like we always say, it's not to say that we're mature. We always say immature older gamers wanted. You know, the idea being that just because we're mature or just because we're older doesn't mean we have to give up having fun and, you know, be extremely serious. So we have all types of clans, you know, clans that are completely a goof and, you know, everyone acts a certain way, and then we have clans that are a little more serious. But really the main thing is just that you're over 25, and at least you all can relate to one another, I guess, is the best way to say it.
Absolutely. And from what I've seen from in the past year, you guys are doing a great job with that.
Yeah, we're focusing a lot on news and stuff and really trying to get the industry interested in us more than just a portal, but also, you know, let the industry know that older gamers are a large, large part of the population, especially with Halo in general. We started as a Halo clan, and we've always been very into the Halo universe and stuff like that. So it all really kind of spawned from Halo in that sense where, you know, there was a large group of older gamers that played Halo.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to try to get a place for them to all meet up because no one really knew, you know. I almost stopped playing Xbox Live after I got, because I played Halo 1. I absolutely was in love with the game. You know, and we would have parties at my house and, you know, have five or six guys over and have little miniature lands, and it was just a blast. And
nice.
You know, for me, I thought, oh my god, Halo 2 is going to be like the salvation for us all. We're all going to be online now. And then I just remember when I first got online, it was like the worst possible experience like anyone can have on Live. It's just like screaming children and, like, you know, cheating, yeah. Like all day cheating, you know, quitting out teammates that can't handle it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it formed. We actually met a guy online and said, hey, do you want to join, you know, our clan? We're just a bunch of older guys. And it was just three people. It was me, Ebola, and Mike James, actually, who still a moderator on the site to this day. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, Halo really started the whole thing, so we're looking really forward to Halo 3 and all the other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, now.
You guys currently had an event in Chicago?
Yes, we had our third annual, or some could call it the fourth annual, Too Old to Con conference LAN party in Chicago. It's just a three-day event where everyone from the site gets together for charity and has a LAN party.
Oh, nice.
And this year it was really a huge success. We raised over $1,000 for Children's Memorial Hospital in Chicago. We donated an Xbox 360, two regular Xboxes, a bunch of GameCubes and games to all the kids, you know, while they wait treatment so they have something to do, so they can have fun. Scratch. Stuff like that. But it was an extremely fun event, an extremely funny event.
What was the turnout?
We had about 160 people show up for the weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's a pretty big.
And last year we had 80. Yeah, we had three rooms, three full rooms together, which is basically one ballroom at the Wyndham O'Hare. Mm. We brought in 70 LCD screens, 70 Xbox 360s, two projectors, one for Guitar Hero, one for the Wii, of course. and a large showing of World of Warcraft, which has infected the Tool to Play website.
Oh boy.
like a disease, gentlemen, like a disease.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this even on the air, but this once happy Halo 2 player has been stuck in World of Warcraft himself.
Oh, yes. You're plagued. Get away.
Yes. Which is the truth behind the podcast's recent falling off.
Oh.
It's the real. That's the inside scoop.
Oh, man.
I know. It's depressing.
That's worse than I thought.
It's depressing. I know. I apologize up front to any Halo players out there. All I can say from my own experience, people, just stay away from the crack. That's all I can say.
Definitely. That's why I haven't attempted to play that.
Yes, keep it away.
World of Warcraft.
Epic game of podcast destroying.
it's a life destroyer. Thank God it's only destroyed the podcast so far. Gotta get as far away from that thing as possible. But no, so it was, you know, it was a really good time. We had you know, some tournaments, and the great thing is that Microsoft really came through more than anyone, and they sent us a ton of gear, Gears of War. Like 5 copies of that, 6 copies of nice. Shadowrun, and tons of like jumper suits, hats, like jackets. I mean, I could go on and on, but it really impressed me how much they actually cared.
Nice.
And they helped us. We basically raffled it all off at the end, had a big raffle on Saturday night, and they helped us raise an additional $1,500 just on raffle tickets alone. So
yeah.
Microsoft really came through for all the kids and stuff, so at least I have this opportunity to thank them as well. But yeah, it was a great event, and we do it every year, and so far it's doubled in size every year, so you guys should definitely check it out next year. You guys could do a podcast from there. I think that'd be cool as hell.
That would be cool. Definitely.
Yeah, and we would hopefully down the line try to do something like that.
That would be cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, it's a pain in the butt, I can tell you right now. And it's always extremely stressful when you set it up, but once it gets going, man, it is a really good time.
Yeah.
And how tough
was it to do
It was really, really tough. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, just because the logistics of everything was just such a huge pain in the butt. You know, powering 70 stations, we had to bring in like another couple hundred watts of electricity like over the weekend over and over again, keep adding more and more electricity because you know you're blowing breakers every 5 seconds, and you know we had an open bar and we had which was maybe a mistake. So <Uh-oh>. Sure.
Crap.
You know, you get a bunch of old guys together and you know they think it's college again and it's not. So
oh no.
So we had some fun there, you know.
The carpet and,
a little bit of hotel issues there and stuff like that. But I mean it is a fun event and
hopefully you're welcome back.
This year actually we talked to them and the thing is, especially with the alcohol, when you have everyone over 25, the bar, you know, they did a couple thousand in sales, so they couldn't have been angry, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, hell
no. Stuff like that. Yeah.
They were like, but, again, please.
Yeah, exactly. They were all nervous during, and then once it ended, they were like, don't go, you know. Why don't you stay another day? Come on, we'll put the Warcraft on. You can sit right here. We'll let you stay in the lobby.
The bar over there, they did a couple 50,000 in sales, so they were doing all right.
We're done for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was cool. And we actually streamed it all live this year via the internet. So that was really cool too. So if you ever went to the site during the LAN on the homepage and on the LAN page, we had a constant 24-hour video stream, audio stream up, so you can see everything happening at the event. You could chat live with anyone at the event that was next to the camera. We had a little laptop there, so you could go into the chat room.
Nice.
And then you could do live donations to for the raffle. So we raffled out some stuff. Via the internet, we raffled out a limited edition Xbox 360 faceplate from E3. I guess they only made a couple. And Microsoft sent us over one of those as well. So we did that, you know, solely for the people that were watching live. It was really kind of cool to know that they could see you and, you know, kind of do the LAN that way. So no one was safe. You know, they said last year, everything that stays at the LAN stays is at the LAN, you know, or everything that happens there, rather. And this year, it was kind of 24 hours a day.
So, nice.
It was cool, though. I mean, it was cool. I definitely think you guys should check it out, or at least try to have one on your own. You know, they're just a lot of fun to meet all the people that you talk to every day and never see. I mean, that's the kind of cool part of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. Definitely. Which brings us to what we are talking about on this show. This week we're talking about some of the recent stuff that's been announced for the Halo universe. It's coming out in Halo 3. And some cool stuff to definitely go over, and we're going to get to that as we go through them. We got lots of people that sent in stuff, lots of new people that sent in stuff for this week's show from podtacular.com. So let's get started on those and get into what's been covered this week. Who wants to start us off?
Cool. I'll start it off. We're going to go with German Man. He goes, holy habanero. The flamethrower should be pretty fun considering the fact there won't be a continuous stream of fire. As for the fourth grenade, I thought it would be some sort of pipe bomb based on the screenshots. And I am totally pumped to burn some brutes and roast some wrongdoers. Finally, no clan support just kills me inside. But Bungie did say that in the podcast, we could still set up some sort of clan and organize matches over Bungie.net. Well, I certainly hope so, because vital part of the entire community and what was built on it, you know.
Yeah.
My whole feeling of the clan support, and I've talked about this with a bunch of guys, over at Tool to Play is that it's really a precursor for something much bigger that Microsoft is going to do within the Xbox Live interface. I just don't think for a minute that Bungie would give up quite possibly the largest part of what made Halo 2 so successful. I just don't buy it. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And the only reason I can see them doing that is because Xbox Live has a way for you to create clans or create separate friends lists for games coming out within the fall update. I mean, I could be wrong. You know, that's just me spitting out some rumors.
Yeah, there have been some speculation on that.
Yeah, I mean, but to me, it just would not make any sense to destroy one of the most vital pieces of Halo 2.
So to clarify, the way we found out about this is it was on the Bungie podcast. You guys can check that out on iTunes. Bungie podcast, they talked about recently how someone asked point blank, is there going to be clan support in Halo 3? And they said, no. They said that it's the way they did it before, it turned out they apparently broke some kind of rules, at least that's the way it came across to me, with Xbox Live, that it shouldn't have been like that. It was basically a second friends list, they said, and that you know, it didn't kind of carry over to Halo 3. They said that while they don't have it coming out in the launch Halo 3, it may be something that they'll offer as downloadable content. But in the meantime, what they will have is on the website, they'll have ways to get players together. They'll have ways to get people together as a team. So that will, in some ways, replace the clan functionality within Halo 3. So, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. I mean, when I think of not having a... In a way, and I discussed this with some Tool to Play guys before as well, in a way it's good for communities like mine and communities like yours, as bad as it sounds, only because then it forces people to really seek out communities, you know, beyond being on the game itself. That's and true. To find out if there are communities available to suit them. So in a way, I guess in a morbid way, it's good for us in terms of gathering our community together and playing games together. You know, but in no way do I think it's a good thing. I mean, to me, losing clan support, you know, all we talked about was like, oh, wow, you know, Halo 3 is going to come out and the clan, you know, our old clan, which is almost 3 years old now, would finally be able to all get back together and play Halo again, you know, which is really exciting. You know, unfortunately, I don't know. It's kind of a bummer. I don't know why they would all of a sudden say that it was some rule they broke, which I've always found was kind of strange.
Yeah, me too.
I don't really get that. especially now that you're owned by Microsoft. I mean, Bungie is Bungie, but let's face it, it's Microsoft's game. So I would figure they could do whatever they want to do. It's not like there's some third party development company.
And if it was such a big rule to begin with, I mean, they did it in Halo 2. So obviously Microsoft had to, you know, known what exactly they wanted to do with client support in Halo 2. Mm-hmm. And obviously in Halo 3 it was such a huge, well, not in Halo 3, but in Halo 2 it was such a huge part of the game. Obviously people expected it in Halo 3. So I don't think there was any sort of mistake. I just feel that, you know, like you said, there might be, I mean, I've heard the rumor as well, there might be some kind of clan support, you know, function in the fall update, which, you know, it makes sense, because there's a lot of games out there that don't have clan support.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, but you know, the thing is, I mean, they mentioned a couple things on that. First of all, they mentioned that it was like a second friends list, basically, on Xbox Live. And I think a lot of people have said that, and I've always disagreed with that, and it really surprised me to hear it out of, you know, someone working at Bungie saying that oh, it's basically just a second friends list, because it's not at all. It's a team list that is managed only by, you know, certain people that are allowed to on the team. So it's not everybody can just add to the friends list. So it's a central way that you can, you know, you can interact with that. And some people have suggested that they're talking about possibly allowing it in future downloads, that some people are saying that it might be just a clan blade within the Xbox Live interface and a separate way to get together as these centrally managed teams within different games and stuff, so that it can be outside of just the Halo interface. And I think that's what they were talking about Xbox Live having a problem with originally.
Right.
And you know, another thing is that they mentioned that this thing about possibly breaking rules on Xbox Live, and you know, it makes me wonder that when you get a clan invite in Halo 2 within the Xbox 360 interface, it comes up as you got a team invite. Do you want to accept it or decline it? And that, you know, it's like if it's within the 360 interface, how can it be breaking the rules? You know, if it still carries over to that. So.
Yep. That's my take. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting statements, you know, from Bungie there. What's true, what's fake? I mean, we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, you look at what they said with the co-op support before, you know, and that was all leaked. You know, and they said, oh, there's no co-op. They're not announcing anything like that, you know, and then 3 weeks later, there's 4-player co-op confirmed. So, right. You know, you can't really buy what Bungie's selling you until it's got a price tag on it, I guess, is the way I look at it.
Yep. You know?
So, who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. Well, at least there's something with the with whatever it is there is on the website. I mean, you know, granted we'll have our own things going on with you know, our respective websites, but at least there's something where people can go to it, like a central place for Halo stuff and find teams to get together with, and you know, that's better than nothing, I suppose. But we definitely, I'm sure pretty much most of the community, you know, those of us out there that are community minded that realize that Halo has really fostered such a great community with Halo 2, and that it's really gimped out and lacking without clan support. So, you know, here's to hoping they find a way to add it in the future.
Yeah, and you look at Forza 2, that was a big uproar because they didn't have car club support. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm hearing this, I can see where they're... I mean, I can see now that because there was no support for a car club in Forza 2, mm-hmm. which was, you know, a huge selling point in Forza, the original one for Xbox, I can see that maybe that rumor makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, because I mean, you take these two big games, and you know, Halo's a, you know, they're a huge franchise, and they understand, they're not dumb. They communicate with community and everything. So yeah, I think there is something up the Microsoft sleeve when it comes to that fall update.
Yep, we'll see how that comes out. Definitely. Well, on to one from Drive C, who writes in saying apparently the only game that had real success with clans was Halo 2, and now they've taken away from Halo 3. It seems like Bungie tried to phase out clans before by getting rid of their clan matches earlier in the second year of the game. But clans still set up links with each other, and clans play successful games. Personally, I would like clans in Halo 3 and clan matches in Halo 2, because clans just team up in match-made games and ruin the experience by being cocky and arrogant, also usually wearing the same exact color, just a pet peeve of mine. Also, another reason is DriveC says that. Also, another reason is that the actual Xbox Live service wanted to phase out clan support due to low usage besides Halo 2. Interesting take on it.
Hmm. I don't know, man. I mean, like, I believe it was Rainbow Six Black Arrow that had clan support where you can actually, I believe it was the first title, you can actually send a voice message to your teammates. And, you know, that was near the same time where they came out with that feature where you can send like a 20-second voice message to somebody over at Xbox Live in your friends list. And I mean, that one, Black Arrow, I mean, it did pretty well with bringing, you know, the Rainbow Six community together as well. Mm-hmm. So I mean, if a game, and well, not the game itself, but if the developers can bring out a good form of clan support, then it's not going to be underused. You know, it would.
Right.
You know, you bring a franchise like Rainbow Six back, you know, with Vegas. Mm-hmm. And everybody would love clan support in that one.
Right.
Yeah, as long as the game has popularity, there's absolutely no reason there should not be clan support. I mean, of course if a game sucks, there's not going to be clans. I mean, who's playing it? You know, there's going to be a small group of people that are playing the game, and there's no way there's going to be enough people for them to get together and want to start a clan. Mm-hmm. But those popular games, even Gears of War, I could totally see, you know, a ton of clans forming just for that game. I personally don't like it, but...
Can't wait, man.
I think Fumojo can agree with that.
Dude, high five virtual over high the internet, five, man.
High five. Virtual high five?
Yeah.
There you go. Right on. It doesn't have the popularity to carry over. I mean, I think it's really silly for anyone to say that, there isn't going to be any people that are going to be interested just because the game doesn't have a clans list. I think if you put a clans list in, and the game's popular, you're going to definitely get some clans out of it. That's just the way it goes. People meet each other, they like each other, or they don't, and if they do like each other, they want to play again with each other. And the friends list has proven to just not be large enough to hold all those friends. I mean, I have 3 tags on Xbox Live because if I didn't, I couldn't get everyone on my list that I want to be on.
Right.
You know, and so you have to, and so a part of me almost looks at Microsoft doing this as a way for me to make me spend more money. I could be wrong, but it seems like they've always had an outcry from the community that the friends list is broken, extremely incomplete, and extremely inefficient. And no one seems to ever disagree with that.
I mean, when I was at Seattle for a Crackdown event, and they were showing us, I believe it's called Zoc, they call it, and it was, you know, a little tour of the Xbox Live facilities, and, you know, I asked them about why is our friends list limited to 100 people, and they claim that only about 5% of gamers have more than 100 friends online. So that was their reasoning. I mean, I don't know how true that is, how accurate the numbers are.
I mean, so that means 95% of all Xbox Live gamers can't seem to make friends? I mean, that doesn't seem like a very successful service, or at least a very social group of people that are playing, which
they say. They say on average, you know, the average gamer has about 30 friends. Where I can see that happening, you know, some people have maybe 10. I know some guys who really aren't real sociable.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, the 3 of us are very popular in our communities, and we have a lot of people, right, you know, who want to be on our friends list and stuff, so.
Well, the thing is, you know, I mean, a lot of people I know had their friends list maxed out, and, you know, sometimes it's people like, for instance, I think probably all of us have whittled our friends list down to where pretty much everyone on our friends list, we recognize their names.
Right.
If we don't play with them all the time necessarily. But we really don't want to take them off our friends list because they're our friends. You know, even though,
exactly.
I'm sorry if we have 100 friends, I'm sorry. But we do, you know? I promise, yeah, we do. It's not like we have 100 people that we know. We have 100 friends, okay? So that's the thing, is like...
Oh, man, I mean...
If we're talking about increasing the friends list limit for that 5%, what's the big deal? Increase it for the 5%. You know, you're only increasing it for 5%. You're not increasing it really for 95% because 95% don't use that much. So what's the big deal? You know, you
exactly.
calm a lot,
I mean,
of people that are really ticked
future.
About it. And it just yeah. you know, makes people applaud Microsoft that much more that they're willing to help out the community. I don't know. That's my take on it.
To have a service on a PC... like Xfire, where you can have unlimited. I mean, the whole problem here is that there's a limit on there, and there's no sort of technological reason for there to be a limit. Mm-hmm. It's really just a limit. I mean, if you had an actual reason, I guess we could, you know, all say, oh, well, you know, the CPU power can't handle 101. If you have 101, the entire thing catches on fire. Okay,
yeah.
We get it. We understand.
Yeah, right.
We won't request anymore. But for you to just say that, hey, there's a limit because there's a limit, really doesn't make any sense. I mean... When you have a PC, essentially, like the 360, I mean, that's what it is, with so much power, you know, and with all the ways of social networking on the web and how people communicate with one another on a PC, tying those two things together just seems, you know, common sense to me. Give me a friends list where I can tag my friends. I can say, here's the friends that I have in my local area. That's one set of friends. Here's my group of friends that play Gears of War. Here's my group of friends that are just like my pals from college or whatever.
Yep. Right.
But, you know, this isn't like rocket science. This is something that's been going on for forever, at least within the last 5 years on the web. And for free. Right. I mean, we're paying, you know, people sometimes do forget that. Yeah. But we are paying for this service, and it seems completely crazy to me that with Friends List, Instant Messenger, the way that is, we've been doing this since the early 90s. Why do we have this huge step back with Xbox Live, right, where we can only communicate with 100 people? I mean, you know, do I have to get AIM just to connect with these people? Why not? With MSN Messenger even, why do we have this limit? You know, they clearly know how it should be done.
Yeah.
Nah, it's just bizarre. I don't know. I could talk all day about the Friends List and my hatred of it.
And I have to say two more things before we move on. Is that, first of all, you were mentioning that you have your Gears of War friends, you have your, you know, other game friends. Some people only play specific games. And, you know, you have those people on your friends list that because they play those games and they don't, you know, you have other people to play other games. So pretty soon that adds up, the more games you have, especially. And other people, I was going to say, you know, I have 100 people that I recognize on my friends list. Some people just want to add a bunch of people to their friends list so that they'll have a significant amount of people online at any one time. So, like, they could go on at 2 in the morning and they'll have 5 or 10 friends on just because of the sheer number of friends they have on their friends list. And that, I think, is a pretty good idea in general, but it would be much more effective if you could add up to maybe 200 friends or something like that, or just freaking remove the limit, you know? But
I mean, all the friends that you have are not always going to buy all the games that you get by, and they're not going to play the games that you play.
Nope.
Right.
So you have your Halo friends, and all of a sudden, like, I bought Shadowrun, I enjoy it, some people don't, and I understand that, but then I have to go through my friends list and clear out all the people that aren't playing enough Shadowrun, because at the time, that's what I'm playing.
Yeah.
So now I have to delete all these people, and it's like, well, I don't want to delete them. I mean, I wish I could just put them to the side for, you know, a couple months, I'll get sick of Shadowrun, I'll bring them back. Yeah. But that's a huge pain in the ass. You know, I really want to be able to say, oh, well, these are the Shadowrun people I play with. You know, and if I'm done with those people, I'll delete them and move on. But for me to have to, like, rearrange an entire friends list of 100 people just to get 30 people on there is just, it's really just bizarre. I mean, the whole thing to me is just so backwards.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. Definitely is.
This is like group therapy. I feel better.
I know.
I was about to bust into tears, and I'm glad that this subject is almost over.
Unfortunately, very painful. It's something we all like and enjoy, so, I mean, we got to deal with it.
Yep.
My name is Mike, and I'm a friendsless addict.
Hi, I'm Mike, and I only have 100 friends on my list. Hi, Mike.
So hard to get through each day.
Beermaster 93 says, finally, a napalm grenade that will work great in narrow hallways and small entrances to bases. This will be an awesome in campaign mode. I wonder what will happen if you throw one at a pack of grunts. This should work great on the Flood. I wonder if it's Forerunner or Human. I hate that the clans are not in Halo 3. I feel as though we're going to hear a lot about that.
Yeah.
It was like a second friends list, and I like that I could join people that I didn't send a friend request to. I guess it will work to some extent with recent players lists. I will miss it, though. I can't wait to buy some Game Fuel and Game Fuel Slurpees.
Okay. Slurpees.
Slurpees. Yeah, I think we've pretty much killed the whole Halo 3 clan thing.
Oh, yeah. That's...
But, napalm grenades, that's a separate story. I am a huge fan of the napalm grenade. I think it sounds awesome.
Oh, definitely. I mean, just imagine, like, during a Capture the Flag match or something, and, you know, you're in a little corner hiding, and, you know, a bunch of people come trying to infiltrate your base, and boom, you know, you just whack them with a nice little napalm grenade for their troubles.
Now, I understand it basically creates a kind of a barrier of burning liquid over a specific area for maybe 5 or 10 seconds or something like that.
Yeah.
So, for instance, they gave the example of using it in a doorway to cover your exit on Capturing the Flag. or something like that. So yeah, that kind of thing I can see coming real handy.
I wonder if there's a counter to that.
Well, did they say that the napalm grenade was going to burn down the bubble shield? I couldn't remember if they said that or just the fire. Okay, just the flamethrower.
Yeah, I believe the flamethrower you could.
Okay. Because I've always liked, during the beta especially, now I can't remember the name of the map, where you would come through the gates, and if you grab the flag, you can throw a bubble shield right in front of the gate while you were leaving.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was...
And, you know...
Oh, man, that was high impact. No, what am I talking
High ground?
High ground, yeah.
But I love that. And for me now, when I heard about the napalm grenade, I'm just imagining like throwing a firing pit in front of there and like, yeah, how much cooler that would be.
Yeah,
where
definitely.
They really can't step over it. You know, you just kind of got to try to jump and, you know, depending on how much damage it takes, whether it's worth it to make the jump or not, I think that is going to be such a cool element, man. I mean, I've always loved the strategy of Halo and Halo 2. And it seems to get better as they come out with the series, and especially with this kind of these new secondary weapons, I'm really starting to see that, especially with the napalm grenade, and obviously with the bubble. It adds this like totally new dynamic to how to fight in a battle and what to bring into a battle and what to be prepared for. And so I think the napalm grenade is just really going to be, you know, something pretty cool. I can imagine going into a bubble and throwing a napalm grenade inside the bubble while someone's in there and just running out, watching them burn in this little bubble, this little furnace.
All oxygen disappears.
Yeah. Oh, a little kiln. A Master Chief kiln comes out as a potted, like a pot.
Yeah, but that was one thing you mentioned, you know, strategy. And you know, a lot of people who are going to, you know, for the first time play, you know, Halo Online, they're going to look at these weapons and really have no idea what to use them for, while, you know, some of the more seasoned veterans like us, we're going to come up with strategies to try to utilize these, you know, secondary weapons to the best of our abilities. So it's going to be, you know, this. I guess for the first few months, there's going to be a lot of tutorials going around, you know, within the game itself. You know, some of these people are going to be like, what's this, and how do I throw this? And then next thing you know, they're throwing a, you know, what was the deployable weapon that deploys your
there's
energy
so
shields?
Many of them now.
Yeah,
the,
I know.
The shield drainer, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Shield drainer, yeah.
I don't blame you for it. I mean, come on, you know, there's just like a huge amount of weapons and equipment and vehicles. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. How do you guys feel about the shield drainer? I hate to get off subject, but I was...
Oh, I enjoyed it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because there was plenty of times where I got double kills after I died because I would throw it down and you know, they'd kill me, but they would just stay there and, it, you know, obviously lower their shields, and then by the time it detonates, they're too close, you know,
right.
They didn't run far enough, and they get caught. And, you know, I mean, that was a good laugh, at least for me. Or, you know, in a tight spot, you can just throw it down and run away, and, you know, they gotta wait until it, you know, it you know, goes in self-destruct.
Yeah, it's a good defensive weapon. That's definitely true. Yeah,
it's kind of funny how sometimes in close range or in relatively close range, it can kind of turn into the first part of a noob combo. You know, where you kind of turn the tides on someone.
Yeah,
they got a couple shots off on you, and then you drop that down and turn around and
fire
hit
once.
Them in the head. And...
Yeah,
yeah, and you can actually, and I actually was successful with hitting a ghost with it, and the guy he flew by it. And the ghost just, you know, it just sat down, and he goes, and I hear him, what's going on? And I melee.
Cheater!
Yeah, yeah.
You modded.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, and to go off topic again, you know, Gamertag Radio Godfrey, he did a experimental roundtable through a video roundtable with Liquid Life and Vicious696 from Uncle Gamer. And for those that know Liquid Life, he's not anti-Halo, but he just claims that Halo is overhyped and hasn't done anything new for the first-person genre. And I gotta, you know, I gotta disagree with him because, I mean, just the fact that there are so many new items being added to what's already a deep, you know, multiplayer experience, and then they're saying there's surprises in store for us as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you look at Halo 2, and it's being played still to this very day. And to me, if a game that's being played for so long, you know, never did anything to you know, change the first person genre. I mean, Halo's a perfect example. I mean,
yeah, you're either wrong or you got a lot of stupid people on your hands. I mean, that's basically how that works when you have that many people playing. I mean, the biggest thing that Halo 2 ever did, and I agree to some extent with what he's saying, that it's not something revolutionary. It is just a first-person shooter. I agree with that. But, you know, going back to those clans and stuff like that, Xbox Live is what made Halo 2 so successful. It put the FPS shooter in the living rooms of everybody and gave them the easiest possible way to connect with one another to play that game. Mm-hmm. Yep. And it has a great story. Its basis is great. I mean, everything about the storyline and the lore of it all, to use a Warcraft term, is what gets people excited. I mean, like, you know, people dig Master Chief. They dig that whole thing. They, you know, up until, I guess you can say, the Arbiter, they dug pretty much everything about the series.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, yes, it is just a first-person shooter. But then again, every game, successful or not, is just a first-person shooter. I've seen games that have tried to do things that are definitely different, and do try to expand the way FPSs work, and they fail a lot of the times. I mean, just because you're doing something different doesn't make it great.
Right, like Oddworld Stranger's Wrath did not go above Halo 2.
Exactly.
I think that's a perfect example, because that one went way out into being very creative, and I really enjoy that game. It's a really fun game. But, you know, it just didn't do as well because Halo 2 just made, like you said, made it so easy to really jump into the multiplayer arena. Yeah. And, you know, another thing, it just gave the whole multiplayer arena a goal. Like, what a concept. Instead of just finding random people and playing with them, and, okay, let's do another game. Oh, I'm playing with them. All right. No, you have to, like, go and progress through the ranks. And that's the goal of the whole thing. And that makes it interesting because it makes it like a single player game and a multiplayer game combined.
Yeah. Okay, so moving along, Jigsaw Skill, he says, I'm a longtime listener of the show, and I like to declare myself friend of the program. I am very happy to see the community grow and to continue to bring strong Halo content each and every week. Fumo Jive, JVB, you guys do a nice job of keeping the listeners informed and entertained. Keep on doing a great job. Essentially, I want to say I am so excited for Halo 3. I've got the game pre-ordered on 4 different places just to get the midnight game on. Whoa. Just get the game on midnight. I don't want to know what you're going to do on midnight, buddy. But I know you're going to get your game on. But here's the kicker. Uh-oh. The other day I'm at a grocery store, and I see Mountain Dew, Game Fuel, and Master Chief on the box. Holy schmoly. This is cool. So I bought 16 packs. Whoa. 16 packs? Okay, what? Anyway. This was everything this store had. My wife thinks I had lost my mind.
I agree.
Guess I have so much caffeine. I guess so much caffeine will do that. Anyway, here's to all that is awesome in the Halo universe. Let it continue to expand. So keep on drinking gamer fuel and gain 100 pounds in 42 days until Halo 3 arrives. And I'll continue to be a friend of the program. Later, Jigsaw Kill. Thank you very much, Jigsaw. And I hope you don't, overdose on
dude. I just read about this lady that got taken to the hospital for too much
caffeine.
Sounds
extremely dangerous. Yes. Yeah. You may not explode.
So what do you guys think of this crazy Mountain Dew Game Fuel thing going on, this cross-promotion with Master Chief on the bottle, right?
I was laughing because I'm like, wow, you know, just something else that, you know, Halo enthusiasts are going to have to go out and buy and maybe just Even my wife was like, "Are you gonna if you find one, will you save it? Will you collect it?" And I'm like,
"Will you buy the whole store out of their entire inventory like this guy did?"
I mean, you know, 20 years down the line, I'm gonna look at my Mountain Dew and
and you're gonna punch yourself in the face. That's what you're gonna do.
This is the original Mountain Dew, man. I bought it when it came out.
Dude, this is gamer fuel. I'm so tired, I should drink one.
It's all dried out now. I'm going to snort it.
Yeah. Man, that's good fuel.
It's so extreme. Concentrated Master Chief.
I mean, it looks like gasoline.
Right.
The color of gasoline.
I'm not a fan of Mountain Dew, so...
I used to be, but I found myself drinking a lot of it, and you know, I gained those 42 pounds in 2 days. But but no, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you know, you put two and two together, they kind of coincide, because you know, one of the more popular drinks for gamers is Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
You know, I mean, when Halo 3 comes around, there's going to be a lot of people playing up till the wee hours of the morning, and you know, what better way to stay awake than to pop in a can of gasoline? So, it's a good strategy.
Yes, man, it's just, that's like a great way to incite a bunch of heart attacks, in my opinion, man. I stay away from
right.
from soda in general. I mean, you know, some of you might consider that a little extreme, but you know, I know it's like crazy unhealthy, so.
Now, if they came up with a
especially
diet.
Mountain Dew. I mean, come on.
Oh yeah.
How can you have? What I want to know is how can you have more caffeine than Mountain Dew? Isn't Mountain Dew like just like a drop of water and 99% caffeine and then a little bit of sugar?
I don't think there's any water in the entire drink. I really don't. I used to maybe believe that.
It's kind of chalky.
150 yeah. grams of sugar.
Exactly. There's something nuclear like in there. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
so.
If they made a diet Mountain Dew edition, then, you know, yeah, I'm all for
what
it.
What possibly could be diet Mountain Dew, though?
That's
what
like
that,
diet lard. It just does
yeah,
not.
I don't know what that is.
It's not possible.
Fat free lard.
You get the diet Mountain, and basically it's just, I don't know, they give you like a laxative or something. That's what they call diet. There's just a laxative in there.
Yeah.
That's the only way they could. Yeah.
It's like vegetarian beef. It's like jumbo shrimp.
Exactly. There you go.
It's a Mountain Dew prune edition.
It's Mountain Duty. Is what that is. Got my face on it.
Dude, I rock.
Exactly. Mountain
well,
Duty.
Hey, I mean, now we're starting to see the Halo 3, you know, advertisement,
yeah.
You know, extravaganza, you know, and...
Right.
I mean, we do have a lot of a few other things to talk about as far as, you know, promotional cross promotional events and stuff, and you know, questionable you know, like, you know, the vehicles and stuff like that. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I'll pick up a case eventually.
You know, I don't know if anyone else covers this, so why don't we just talk about that now? Pontiac is doing some kind of, I don't know what it is, because it hasn't, as far as I know, it hasn't been in the media yet, but somehow Pontiac is doing some kind of cross promotion with Halo 3.
What?
Like, they have some vehicle coming out called the G6, which better look exactly like a Warthog, otherwise, like, what's the point?
Well, the G6 is currently in rotation. They do make it, but yeah, like you said, there better be a turret in the back of my G6.
Damn straight, man.
I don't want, you know, a green car with, you know, a big Halo 3, you know, insignia on the seats, and you know, I want to see Cortana pop out of the, you know, pop to me on the dashboard. You know?
Turn right at the next street.
See, yeah, I would buy that, actually. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a turret, you know. And then you get your choices of different turrets.
Yeah.
Like when you go to the dealership, you know, they got, hey, we got the rocket launcher turret add-on. If you want the the flamethrower turret, it's going to cost you an extra $5,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean... I don't know, man. What can he possibly do, man? I mean, yeah, I can imagine a greenish G6. And I don't know, man.
Okay, here's what I want to know. Okay, first of all, you have two possible scenarios here. You have people that go to the Pontiac dealer and go, oh, they're talking about it. This is cross-promoted with Halo 3. I should buy that game because I'm getting a Pontiac.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense to me. I mean, I don't even... What does that mean? Like, maybe they give you the game
I wonder who approached who about that deal. Like,
Pontiac. I gotta think Pontiac.
Yeah. Pontiac must have been like, look, man.
Guys, we got this great idea.
Yeah, we're gonna put your logo in one of our most highly anticipated vehicles. I mean, I can see that Halo 3 edition Pontiac, you know, coming out of freaking Hertz Rent-A-Car or something. Because that's all that's the only place I see G6s.
Yeah.
So
I didn't even know highly anticipated and Pontiac could be in the same sentence. So
well, you know, that's
I'm still they, I'm know, still shocked at that. But yeah,
that's the PR people talking. You know?
Pontiac.
Yeah. So
you
like,
think of teenagers and speed and hipness. You think of a Pontiac G6.
Hipness.
Yeah, just the word hipness. I'm like, so sold on that right
that's,
now.
That's kind of ironic. That's like the word contemporary. It's so not contemporary.
Right, exactly.
Bling-blinging our G6s are being built.
So that was the first scenario, right? People going to the Pontiac deal. The second scenario is even more unlikely. People go to GameStop with, like, pennies enough to be able to get Halo 3, and they're like, oh, crap, look at this. The Pontiac G6. It's advertised along with Halo 3. Oh, I better hurry to the Pontiac dealer right after I finish buying Halo.
Mommy! I found the car of my dreams.
If I don't get this G6, I'm going to shoot somebody.
With the BR.
Or just imagine you going on a date for the first time with this hot chick, and you pick up in a Halo 3 car.
Yeah,
and, the date probably ends right there. Apparently.
She's gonna be like, "Oh my god, you're so hot! You have a Halo 3 car. Take me now.
Take me down to your mother's basement immediately.
Take me down, Master Chief.
Game over, man.
I'm your Cortana.
Exactly.
I don't know. I mean." It's bad enough I get goofed on at work because, you know, they call me, whenever I get a phone call, they go, Halo 3, Halo Hotline, you know, I'm JBB, blah, blah, blah. But imagine if I showed up in a Halo 3 edition G6.
Man, first they rip on you for it being a G6, and then they'd rip on you. You'd have, like, two things you'd have to explain. That would just not be, that would suck.
Your stereo's blasting, it's like, oh.
That's the only thing that plays. There's actually no stereo, it's just an MP3 loop to deal with.
That's my favorite part.
You're, like, headbanging in the car. Yeah, guys, come on!
Oh, God. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you're down on rocks. Yeah, bro. Why is the same song playing over and over? Well, you know.
It's a promotion.
I'm really interested. I mean, how would the rims look like? I mean, are they going to have, like, 24-inch rims?
Are they going to have four-wheel steering?
I know.
I would hope so.
Are they going to be spinners, you know?
Yeah, man.
Are they going to be in the shape of the Halo 3 logo?
They gotta be spinners.
Which would be really ugly.
Reduced gravity, you know?
Right. Exactly.
I want a power slide, damn it. Yeah, so I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You get in the car and, like, your whole body just, like, lifts up to third person view and you have an arrow pop up in front of you.
You get a big HUD, you're like, oh, this is, I get it. I like this.
All right.
Somebody jumps in the car with a flag. Go!
Like when you drive it off the lot, so you just get in it. Some dude just comes running out. I just armed the bomb. Get out! I armed the bomb. Like, oh god! Oh my god!
Dude, I just ordered a latte.
Come on, floor it!
Get to the chopper!
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's questionable, and I mean, hey, whatever's gonna whatever's going to create revenue. Yeah. But and free press, I don't know. I mean, hey,
it doesn't hurt nobody. Audience. It's just fun to laugh at.
It's just fun to goof on.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know what would have been better? You know, better use of the Halo, you know, name and stuff. If you would have put it on toilet paper, this way it reaches an even wider audience.
And who doesn't use toilet paper?
First thing you see when you're in the toilet. Yeah, exactly. Everybody uses toilet paper, and you know, how many times are you gonna be, you know, rolling that roll, and you're gonna see a bunch of threes, and hey, you see threes while you're doing number two. So I don't
right.
I mean, I think that would have been more.
Eventually, you're like, right. okay, I give in. I gotta buy this game.
Yeah, exactly, dude. This game is bugging me. It's a pain in the rectum. Anyway.
Wow. Yeah, so, yeah, these things are pretty weird.
Yes.
But whatever.
And what else was there? There was,
I believe there was one
there
last
Doritos
thing.
Doritos or something?
Yeah, there is out. A Doritos promo, isn't there?
Clearly.
Halo 3, yeah, Doritos, yeah. They just kind of go hand in hand, you know?
Yeah, right. And what is this telling the American youth? Buy our game, get fat, and then go buy a Pontiac G6. You are going to get laid constantly. I mean,
pretty much.
How healthy are? I mean, how healthy?
Yeah, it sounds about what they're talking about. I mean, yeah. I look at that. I think of a meeting, and I think that's pretty much how it went.
It's the Doritos that really do it, you know.
Right, the Doritos is the final.
Doritos make you irresistible.
Kicker. Why don't you sit around drinking Mountain Dew, eating Doritos, and prove to the general public that gamers are nothing but a bunch of lazy guys eating Doritos and drinking Mountain Dews on the couch playing video games.
You know what a G6 Spark.
What a G6 Pontiac.
Well, they're just going further
in
to
a green color.
Reinforce stereotypes, and I don't appreciate it.
Exactly. Damn it, I'm fit. I'm Hercules. Anyway, did I say that out loud?
You did.
So the last thing we have to cover is the flamethrower, and I believe we have one from Killazilla here, who says, let's see, the flamethrower, not so much. I remember the flamethrower Bungie added to the Halo PC, and it was crap. Unless you camped with it in your base. But half the time, you would burn yourself because the flame bounced off the walls. I hope Bungie has tweaked it to make it a more viable weapon this time around. He says he's also heard that they will burn parts of the environment will be burnable, such as trees and bushes. He says he remembers back in an old screenshot of Valhalla, some of the trees were charred and dead. Maybe that was a result of fire-based weapons. Well, I'll know come September 25th.
No. I always liked the flamethrower. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased. I really thought it was actually a cool thing, especially like how he said. I think it's a defensive weapon. I think a dude runs into your base, he's about to arm the bomb, and you set him on fire. I don't think it's really something that. In fact, all the third person weapons, they're really not like easy to manage or really meant for like you know, going out and kicking a bunch of butt. It's really more. They're all defensive weapons. They're all built to take things down, you know, and protect a point. So, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's another weapon you're going to have to learn how to use it effectively. Obviously, right. If you're in tight quarters and you shoot a flamethrower at a wall, it's going to bounce right back to you. But
makes sense to me.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, every time I shoot a flamethrower at a wall, it always bounces back to me and, you know, catches me on fire, so.
I don't know how much he's dealt with flames before, but yeah, they generally will come back at you if fired against concrete.
I mean, that's something. Just, you know, an observation. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I got the marks to prove it, man.
There you go.
Oh,
so,
man.
You know, the thing is, okay, I got to get my 2 cents on this one, right? Okay, here we go. First of all, we're in the future like a bazillion years, right? So we're Spartans that are like genetically enhanced, and we have like, you know, permasteel armor all over our entire bodies, and you know, including our face and covering everything, our hands and feet and all that stuff. And not on top of that, we have energy shields that protect us even further from any damage. How the heck is fire going to do any damage to something like that? You know, that's what I want to know. I mean, I really like the firebomb idea. I think it's a great idea because I think it really makes like a burning liquid kind of damage wall that is really cool, like tactical advantage going on. But a flamethrower, right. I'm kind of with Killazilla on this one. What do you guys think?
Well, go ahead. I'll let you go.
Again, we're talking about a futurist. I mean, the idea of Halo itself, there's some pretty strange things. There's an energy sword that sucks you into people that stabs them in the back. It's kind of like, huh? I mean, like when they came out of the energy shield out or the energy sword, I kind of had that whole feeling. Like, this weapon really doesn't make sense to me. Like, what makes it, like, lunge at you? What is it? Why is it a heat-seeking sword of energy? You know, so if they want to add some good old-fashioned fire in this, that's something that my mind could at least grasp, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that I'm just old and I don't understand energy swords like the young kids do. But,
plasma noob.
Right. Fire I get. You know, you set someone on fire and generally it's going to be an uncomfortable scenario.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's my take on it. I like the fact that I like the particle effects of fire in video games, so, you know.
Yeah,
I don't mind watching stuff burn. That's just
Fire.
Yeah.
Well, did they specify exactly how much, and I don't, no pun intended, firepower is going to come out from this flamethrower? I mean, is it going to kill you instantly? It's a 3-second burst, so I'm assuming it's going to, you know, do a lot of damage initially. I mean, but did they say it's going to, like, destroy everything in its path?
I would think it would be, like he even says it, and how it was only used for defensive weapons. I think that's what it's going to be. I mean, I think you're going to wait in a base, a dude's going to come in, or better yet, a hog rolls by, and you set it on fire, and everyone in it just kind of burns slowly. That would be really cool to me, if that's how it's used. But, you know, I can't see people, you know, going. I wonder if they're going to do the slow speed with third person, because a lot of the third person stuff you pick up in the game is really slow, so I'm assuming you're going to walk pretty slow with a flamethrower.
Mm-hmm. I think you are. I mean, it's the thing is massive when you look at the Halo 3 version.
Right.
I mean, I haven't compared it to the size of the Halo 1 version, but it really seems like it's definitely going to be a slow weapon. It sounds like the way there's a 3-second burst as opposed to a constant stream, within 3 seconds, if you get them within your fire, it will probably kill them, I would think. And it sounds like it's going to do some serious damage to vehicles as well. So, yeah, like you said, you know, defensive weapon to keep people away from a certain, you know, objective. And, you know, maybe we can kind of put off kind of suspend the disbelief a little bit and just like, okay, Bungie, fine. You have flying swords. We'll deal with this one.
I'm just saying, if you agree with flying swords, then I should be able to agree with fire.
Fair enough.
That's just me. Okay.
Not to mention, there's suddenly two Master Chiefs in a area where there was only one in the story.
There you go. That makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And why are they fighting each other? What is wrong with them?
And where did you all be pull that rocket launcher from?
That was the question of the day back in one of our episodes. Where exactly did the sword go? And the rockets.
Only Master Chief knew.
And the shotgun. I mean, you name it, he had it. Where exactly?
He packs some Bengay with him. That's all I can say. From time to time.
Yeah, let's just say that if you want to be a Spartan, prepare to be sore.
Exactly.
Definitely. Well, that brings us to the end of our adventures on this episode. Sorry to all the people that we missed out on reading your comments. Unfortunately, we only had, four topics to cover, and we covered one per person, so that only left us with, four people.
And I talk too much, so I apologize.
No, that's all right. I want to say thanks to Ray, who gave a shout-out to my wife. Thank you very much. I guess it's because of the dumplings, but that was for past shows.
Hopefully.
Better be, buddy.
I'm coming to your house.
You don't want me to come into your house,
bro. Reverse IP lookup.
I got a special interview I'm going to do with you, buddy.
That'll make a great podcast.
I think it involves that liquid fire we were talking about.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah, man. But, there was a lot of a lot of submissions, and you know, unfortunately, you know, there wasn't that many topics, so you know.
Yeah, we'll keep them coming, guys. We will get to more of those in the future. Generally, we do get to more of the comments that people send in, so keep sending stuff in. You know, we'll definitely the earlier you send stuff in, the more likely we are to read it. So. In the meantime, send in your comments, etc. to podtacular@gmail.com. We depend on your submissions to keep the show going. Keep an eye on podtacular.com for an invitation to send in stuff for next week's show, which we record on Tuesdays, by the way, now, and we'll be asking for stuff to send in somewhere around between Friday and Monday. So keep an eye on that.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And you can call our listener voicemail at 206-888-HALO. That is 206-888-HALO. And leave a Halo-related message. We play these back regularly on the Customs and Calling show, which will eventually return.
Yeah, and we in the meantime, we do have a possible voicemail edition coming out soon. Mm-hmm. So send in your voicemails, man. Let us know what you think about what's going on in the Halo universe, what's going on in Podtacular, what's going on in, you know, general gaming stuff that you think might be interesting to Halo fans.
Absolutely.
And be sure to check us out at podtacular.com. While you're there, check out the forums. There's lots of buzz about Halo 3 and other stuff. I mean, our forums are doing pretty well these days. They're as far as like activity going on in there. You guys should definitely check that out if you haven't already, man. podtacular.com/forums. And, you know, there's some cool people there, and people are really welcoming, and got a pretty good community going on. I'm proud of it.
I'm pretty proud of them because during the slow times, I mean, and there's been plenty of them, they've still gone to the forums and you know, talked about, you know, different games, movies, you know, Photoshop. I mean, there's all kind of things going on over there.
Yeah.
So now that things are picking up, I mean, it's, you know, a great time to go there, apply, you know, introduce yourselves and, you know, get a client invite and start practicing with some of the fellas and get to know them.
Yeah, make friends and play Halo, you know?
Yeah. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
Hey, there's no clan support. You might as well go there.
Yeah, really.
Absolutely. And I want to say thanks to all the people that contribute to Podtacular, whether it's working on the community or website, contributing to our PayPal to help pay with the hosting bill, or subscribing to this show and reviewing us in iTunes. We couldn't do it without you.
For sure. And check out the other shows on the Gamercast Network, Gamertag Radio, Uncle Gamer, and the Gamercast Network Video Game Show. We're kind of a group going on there, and they kind of have a combined feed going on at GamercastNetwork.com, which is pretty cool. And they got a community going on there as well. That's kind of a combination of all our communities, so definitely check that out. It's a cool site.
Yeah, and stay tuned because there's some things coming up for the Gamercast Network and everybody who's involved, and we're going to add two new shows, which will be announced sometime in the near future, very near future, so keep an eye out.
Definitely. Well, Dude I Rock, thanks for being on the show, man.
Yeah, man.
No problem, guys. I actually appreciate it. I'm glad to be back podcasting finally.
Yeah, it must feel good, eh?
It does.
Sweet. Well, we hope to get you back in the future.
I'll be around. You guys can always find me at tooltoplay.com. Go there if you want to look at old people playing video games.
Old day if you want to live.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, give us, why don't you shout out that URL real quick again?
That's tooltoplay.com, the number two, old, the number two, play.com.
Awesome.
Get you in touch with some old dudes. Check it out.
Well, until next time, guys, I'm Fumo Jive.
I'm JVB.
I'm Dude I Rock.
Keep on fragging trucks.
Keep on flaming hot dogs and Doritos and drinking Mountain Dew.
Definitely. Get yourself a G6.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's all about Halo, G6.
Oh, get it, bro. Chick magnet.
Chicks will be stuck to the side of your G6 as you drive along.
Right.
Help me, let me go. No.
No, you were with me, woman. Oh, man, just when you're driving that thing, I mean, you know, make sure not to go too fast because, you know, with all that, you know, futuristic fuel that you're going to have to use in your G6.
Well, doesn't it run on Mountain Dew? I mean, that's not bad.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We forgot about
that. That's pretty much gasoline anyway.
Everything
right. together. It all works out.
I think it's flammable.
It definitely is flammable. I think it is flammable.
You see, we have a theme going here, you know, mobile fuel.
We need to make a YouTube of, like, throwing some experimental Mountain Dew Molotov cocktails.
That's why they have the Mountain Dew. It's the new napalm grenade. We're going to find absolutely. That out. Halo 3. Just going to crack a Mountain Dew and chuck it.
Game fuel indeed, Mountain Dew. Game fuel indeed.
see, during the game, every time he's about to throw one, Master Chief's going to turn around and go, make sure you drink your Mountain Dew. And he's going to toss the napalm.
Like a little change camera shot to the front of his face. Mountain Dew with the drink of champions.
Winners drink Mountain Dew.
He's going to be like, when I'm out killing grunts and saving the world, I'm drinking a Mountain Dew.
And it's like the...
yeah. I need a straw.
I need a straw. A slurp. Mountain Dew like a man. What? Huh?
Hey now.
Easy there, Chief.
Gotta know.
Chief, what the heck are you talking about?
You heard that?
Give me my Doritos and wash it down.
There's only one thing left to say.
Yeah, you can go in there and be a superstar and get, you know, the door.
And call that a name. JVB, you there? Hello, JVB, you there? Anybody there?
Hello.
You there?
Yeah, I'm back.
The heck? Yeah.
Yeah, major lag.
Major lag spike there, huh?
Yeah, there was, it was like, like a weird noise. Remember sometimes, like I said, there's like a noise of Pong being played through my head.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. I actually heard that.
Huh. I didn't hear it, it's just silent.
I thought you were just playing Pong. It's like, oh, he's playing Pong right now.
Wow. All right.
So, yeah.
What's the score?
What's the score?
Okay, so who's next? Am I next?
Yeah.
I'm not.
You said real sure yourself there.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
I'm next.
No, yeah, you. Yeah, I don't think the most.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Today I received a package of a package.
Whoa. I definitely heard that.
Today I received a package for my package.
I placed my package in the package, and I'm sending it to you.
Took a while to get my package out.
Oh, not a second.
Okay. Open package, insert package.
That'll be good night.
Alright.
Ikatas, it's me. Okay. Sorry.
Open package, insert package. In Spanish now.
All you need is one can of game fuel. You're fine.
Find it for the next 3 days, man.
I know. There you go, jogging. You go, you go jogging, you know, lifting weights.
Right.
Come yeah. over here and clean my house. Jog all the way to, you know, Fort Lauderdale.
Everything's like in slow motion, you know? I'm like,
yeah. Boy, dude, everybody's so slow. GamerCastNetwork.com